Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Gamertag Radio, and this time we have an interview with the crew at Cheddar Esports.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Yeah, so I'm Jimmy Mondel. I go by Jim Basco on the internet, and I work for Cheddar Esports. I host that show. It's daily live esports show. It goes from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern every day, every weekday. And my friend, my producer, he's also here.
All right.
What's up, guys? I'm Colin. Colin Foley. I am a segment producer on Cheddar Esports. I just make content around esports and gaming.
So. All right, cool. So how long you guys been working on this, on the Cheddar Esports, like, how's been the process and all that? Let's go from there.
I think first show. Okay, so they had a couple of iterations of it, right? So they started looking into esports because the CEO of Cheddar, his name is John Steinberg. His son was super into Fortnite, all these other games, like all the streamers and stuff. And so he was like, "Interesting. Like, if my kid's into it, I bet like a bunch of other kids are into it. I bet there's like a scene for it." So he started doing his research. He saw, there was a scene for it. So, Cheddar mainly is like a finance show, right? So it's like about business, about all this other stuff. They started experimenting with the anchors that they had there, and they started doing esports headlines. They started covering it more and more, and they saw it was getting picked up. So they went to Overwatch League events and things like that. And after a while, they decided they were going to do a full-on show, right? At least 1 hour of programming. And it started 3 days a week only, Monday, Thursday, and Friday. So it was 1 hour a day, 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. And our first show was TwitchCon 2018. Started there. I did that first show. And then from then, we've been doing it three times a week. And then we moved to 5 days a week. So every day during the week, 1 hour a day. And yeah, since then, we're about like 100 shows in. I think today's 100 shows.
Nice. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So my question to you guys is for you, not the execs at Cheddar, but why is it that you want to cover esports? You know, there's people that are focusing a lot of that right now. It's getting a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. And competition is crazy too right now. So why esports? Why not gaming in general or other topics about gaming?
Right. So I think Colin and I might have pretty different answers here.
Even better.
Personally, so I grew up with an older brother and an older sister, right? So my older brother, he's 32, maybe 33 now. I'm not positive. He was super into games like his whole life. You know, living in New York, you just kind of like, we lived in Queens in New York, so it's like if you don't have a lot of money, you're either going to the LAN cafe back then or you're doing whatever. Mm-hmm. He used to play Counter-Strike OD, like, and he used to play Diablo a lot. So my sister got it super into Counter-Strike, into Diablo, and when my brother and sister were supposed to be taking me to the park when I was little or whatever, they would instead take me to the LAN cafe and we'd play Counter-Strike or Diablo. And that was like our thing. So for the longest time, I got like super into Counter-Strike. I got super into just like computer games in general. And I want to say when League of Legends started getting popular, I was in a boarding school, right, for high school. And when League of Legends got popular, my roommate, he's from Korea, so he was super into it. He was like, "Yo, download this game, let's duo." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Okay, sure." But having that experience like really ignited my love for like competitive games, and I was trash at League. So I thought I was garbage at every game, right? Every computer game, I was like so bad. But I played a lot of League. I got super invested into it. Probably played like 900 hours of it. Mm-hmm. And then I found Counter-Strike Global Offensive, like the new one. And I was like, "Oh, this is just like CS back in the day. This is awesome. I'm going to get into it." I was so good at CS, dude. Okay. So like I hit Global. I hit like whatever. And I was like, going to go pro in the game. But then I really wanted to make that my dream. But then I was watching some of these tournaments. And or I don't know if I'm allowed to curse.
Okay, it's fine. It's fine.
I was watching some of these tournaments, and I was like, these commentators don't know what they're talking about, dude. Like, that's not why he came this way. That's not why he pushed down this way. He's not peeking this because, like, whatever. I was just, like, angry. I was like, they could do so much better. Yeah, and then Overwatch came out, right? And Overwatch is, like, the perfect combination of League. It has the same elements from, like, abilities, ultimates, and things like that, but has Counter-Strike precision, things like that. So I was like, wow, this is perfect. And I loved Diablo back in the day. So Blizzard was, like, my company. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I was like, Overwatch is going to be the game, dude. So I got super good at Overwatch. And then when Overwatch League started, I was like, some of these commentators have no idea what they're talking about, dude.
Again.
I was like so frustrated. And I was like, that's it. I'm doing it. So I just started, I joined a Discord, paired up with these two random, like random people from the Midwestern part of the United States. And we started commentating like random games. And a couple months in, like we've done a couple of tournaments, like, you know, like $10 prize pools. Woo! Randomly, one day, we get a message from DreamHack Montreal. They're asking if they want to, if we want to come out and cast their Overwatch $10,000 event. And we were like, maybe, like, what are you guys like? Like, we'd love to, but we're kind of broke. Like, you know?
Yeah,
they're like, no, everything's covered. Like, we'll fly you guys out to Montreal.
That was a pretty cool opportunity, right?
Dude, oh my God. Yeah. I was like, is this happening? Is this like, what? For what reason? Like, we didn't do any. All my experience prior to that, I'm sitting in my home in pajamas, right? Like just commentating these games. And then we go to DreamHack. And I was like, okay, that was an awesome experience.
So that was your first major
legit gig. Yeah. Wow, but then right after that summer, I applied like then the Microsoft store on Fifth Ave. That's where I met NARS. Their flagship store, they had the Mixer Studio, and they were running in-house tournaments all summer long. And I submitted my application. I was like, whatever, like, if you guys need a commentator, let me know. Didn't hear back for 4 months. Then one day, one of their commentators didn't show up, and their backup wasn't available. So Zune Girl, I don't know if you know her.
Yeah, I know Zune.
Yeah. She called me up. She was like, hey, like, come through. And I was like, okay, I got nothing better to do. It was a PUBG.
PUBG? I think I seen you.
Dude, yeah. It was a PUBG, like, gauntlet in New York at the Microsoft store. And I did that one event, and they were like, you were great. Every single PUBG event afterwards for a year, I was able to do there. I did PUBG, Darwin Project, all these other games. And I was like, this is insane.
So esports changed your life completely then.
Completely. Yeah. Dude, yeah. In many ways, like I was in college, right? When I made that choice to work at the Microsoft store, and I was going for computer science, and I was like, this is not for you. This is not what I want to be doing. I don't want to be sitting here and coding. Like, I love computers, but this is not how I want to show it. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I had this moment where I was like, this is going pretty well. If I can keep the momentum going, maybe I could do this full time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe. So I was like, okay, I'm going to take a year off of college, right? Let me see if I can double down on my work, on everything, and see what happens. And in that year, I worked so many events. I got connected to New York Excelsior. I casted all of their Overwatch events that were in the city. And then I, through New York Excelsior and through Waypoint Cafe in Lower East Side, I got connected to Cheddar because the producer was coming out to that event, and we hung out. And then from there, like,
that's cool. Here.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was
insane. And you? I know you have a totally different story.
It's definitely not as esports centric, I suppose. But as we talked earlier, I was a hard news journalist for almost a decade, and then kind of got tired of it. And through a mutual friend, a friend of mine had a friend who worked for Blizzard, and he reached out and said, like, "Oh, if you know anybody who's in video broadcast, whatever, we're looking for people for like our esports thing," and full disclosure, it was kind of like an avenue for me to break into the games media space more than it was about esports. And so then the line producer on our current show, Cheddar Esports, check it out.
Plug.
he interviewed me, and then like a week later offered me the job. So shout outs to Chris. And we worked at Blizzard together for a little under a year, covering mostly Call of Duty, CWL, the Call of Duty Pro League World League, Pro League. It's got like three different names. And it was a lot of fun. I'm not going to act like I like bought into it like super hard or anything, but like it was cool that like I was learning about these competitive communities around these games that like, because, you know, I mean, like, you know, my first game system, I got like an NES for Christmas in like 88 or 89 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like I came up with games and of course, you know, like playing the original Counter-Strike with like my friends over dial-up, Quake 2, like playing that kind of stuff. So it's not like I was unfamiliar with competitive games, but like structured leagues and like rules and like, you know, like for example, in Call of Duty, they have like gentlemen's agreements where like Activision won't technically like ban a weapon or an item, but they all agree not to do it. And it's always drama when somebody like, it'll be in the middle of a tournament and then like one of them will pull out like the weapon that they're not supposed to have. And they're like, oh, he cheated, whatever. And it's like, yo, technically it's not against the rules. Like, anyway. So yeah, ultimately it was just, I love gaming and this was a way to get into it. And I'm still covering it. It's really interesting. There's obviously a lot of growth and money involved. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
So my question to you, because I was having this conversation with a friend of mine in the industry. I'm not going to mention his name. But he was telling me that a lot of the execs are kind of still confused about esports still to this day. And a lot of them are trying to make like the next sports center, I guess, a 24-hour, you know, type of content all about esports. Do you think that's gonna work for something like that, or you think it's better to have like a show like yours, have it daily, like a daily show for like an hour, instead of having it for 24 hours, 7 days a week?
Yeah, I don't know if there's enough content, like.
You know, it's still small, right? The industry's still small.
I mean, you know, like Overwatch League is big and like Call of Duty's pretty big. League is enormous, right? Like there's money and space and stuff and like and content being generated, but I don't think you're going to have like enough like highlights for like for 24 hours, you know? Which I think is why like a show like ours works, because it's like it's only 5 hours a week and we cover like the big stuff. We do, you know, like Eating Tape where we highlight like big plays or, you know, F-ups, pardon my...
Or interviews too, right? Because you guys invite guests.
We do a lot of interviews either from, like, you know, the business side of things or, like, players or, you know, like, Fortnite's huge now. The World Cup's going on. So I don't know if it's necessarily there just yet. I think, and ultimately, I think the crux is, like, the public at large buying into it, which I feel like we're seeing now in a really big way. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like, you know, like our grandparents, let's say, are not going to be like, oh, so tell me about the New York Excelsior, right? It's, but they're going to be like, yo, kids are playing video games professionally against each other. Like, wow, tell me about it, you know? So like it's entering the public sphere a little bit more. And I think, yeah, it's only going to go up from there. So maybe eventually it'll get there. But yeah, I think right now it's kind of just this like middle ground that we're figuring out.
You want to answer that question too?
Yeah. I mean, I think people are still trying to figure out what people want to watch. You know what I mean? Like, of course, the hardcore esports audience exists, but there are a large group of people who don't care about esports necessarily, but like games. You know what I mean? Like the culture, like whatever game that they're playing, and they enjoy games as an art form or a whatever you want to call it. I don't know if 24 hours.
It's not going to work something.
Yeah,
like that.
That's like. I think. It could work, but you would obviously have to cater to many different audiences and designate specific times, right? Like 5 to 6 is your hardcore esports. You can catch that every single day, but otherwise we have arbitrarily related gaming content. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe it's like that series on Netflix, like 7 days out, maybe they air one of those episodes for another hour. And then for something else, they do like a highlight of cosplay or like whatever, like whatever you want to call it. But, yeah, I don't think like you would have specific.
You know what? The past few years has been kind of interesting when it comes to like esports going to like the mainstream. So the past few years, I've been noticing that a lot of the TV networks. So I used to work at Discovery Channel.
Yeah.
Back then, I was there for a very long time. And they were kind of confused about digital media at that time. Now a lot of companies are starting to get into it because they got to see the success from Netflix and other streaming services. But then I noticed that a lot of the TV networks, now they want to get into esports, right? So they'll have like the tournament of Evo, Street Fighter on ESPN, or Overwatch League on ABC, Disney XD.
Yeah.
Do you think that's the way it should go for the industry, going to like those networks to get that a new audience? Or because esports came through streaming online,
right?
So you think live TV is that the audience for that, or not really?
Right. It almost feels like a regression, right? Like it almost feels like you're going backwards to cater to the audience behind like the previous audience. Mm-hmm. But I think it's necessary in the time that we live in, like just because there are a lot of people who aren't able to make the swap over to completely digital, completely streaming, be it because of infrastructure or just I think the culture is getting there. Like everyone on a certain level is getting used to streaming everything, but we're not there just yet. But I think in a couple of years, we'll be making moves towards all digital. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because the reason why I'm asking that, because I remember when ESPN started streaming Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Right? There was a lot of the viewers, they were pissed. They're like, what is this? Right. This kid stuff. Like, it's not for me. Like, mm-hmm. I want real sports. Like,
right.
They start complaining of all.
They still get angry about that.
Yeah, still. ABC. So to me, I don't know if that will work, man. Because it's hard. The reason I'm asking this question is because a lot of the companies, networks, they see the success from Twitch and YouTube.
Yeah.
So they're trying to get that audience. Like, come watch live TV. Come. Right. But a lot of like the younger generation, they don't watch live TV anymore.
No. Right.
Like they will watch, let's say, a show like yours on like Twitter, Twitch, instead of flipping the channel to find,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like there is an audience for that, but I feel it's not for them at all,
and
man.
I also think like the objective behind putting it on TV isn't to make them fans, but to create exposure. Because otherwise, think about the people that are watching TV and watching these programs.
Yeah.
What other way would they ever hear about esports? You know what I mean?
Do you think they're forcing that type of content for an audience that are not into gaming at all?
I don't know
if for them doing that, because
I think it's like proximity, like you know how, right? Like you like proximity based recognition, right? Like just spending time around it, you'll be like, oh, esports, sure. I think that's what they're going for. Where they'll be like, here's Overwatch League on ESPN every now and then. You'll just be like, oh yeah, this happens on ESPN. Yeah, I know of it. I don't know what the heck it is, but I know it happens. I know it's a thing. I think that's what they're going for.
You worked on TV, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was in like regular news.
Yeah,
but I think, like for example, I covered the OWL finals in Brooklyn last year at Barclays, and part of that coverage, we went to a NYXL, like for the playoffs, like the weekend before, we went to a NYXL watch event at the 4040 Club, like Jay-Z's like sports bar or whatever. And it really cemented it for me because like, you know, I'm in my mid 30s and I'm a little older. So like, I'm maybe like half a step behind as opposed to like, I guess the people we're referring to. And it's not that I've been on the internet for 20 years and like, I understand streaming and all that. But in terms of like exposure, like the community itself wasn't like apparent to me. I was like, okay, like I understand why this draws in a crowd, but I don't get. And watching these people like light up and yell and like it was like being at a Knicks game. I was like, right on. Like this makes a lot of sense. So it's like the trappings are there. Like I think it's just a question of like for like let's say my parents' generation, like people in their 60s, maybe 50s or whatever. It's still kind of seen as like kid. Pardon my language, I guess.
Yeah, it's fine. All right, it's fine.
And, you know, like, it's still kind of taboo. Like, for example, like, my girlfriend, I mean, she'll play Breath of the Wild then for hours, and she'll play her games here and there, but, like, it's not like she's, like, every week I'm like, oh, what's the new game? Like, what's going on? So, like, there is a disconnect, I think. Like, she, like, I was, you know, watching a lot of Call of Duty when I was covering that stuff, and she was like, I don't quite get, like, what's happening here? And I was like, yeah, I understand without the framework of like playing games for two decades like I have. I don't know if bringing it to that audience makes a lot of sense, but like if you've got the resources, I guess you might as well chase it, right? Like, because
definitely.
I feel like there's no Super Bowl for esports yet. I guess like the international or
Dota.
What's the league? League Worlds are like probably the closest thing where like a lot of like millions and millions of people are all checking it out at the same time, right? I think that's the thing that I'm like, oh, what are you doing for Worlds? Like nobody says that. Right. So yeah, I don't know. I guess, I mean, why wouldn't you chase that like that audience or those dollars? But I guess we'll get there at some point, right?
So you guys have like what, 100 episodes you said, right, earlier? Was like 100 or so?
Yeah, just about. I think it was like maybe early this week we had 100.
Okay,
right?
so was there an episode or a segment that stood out to you guys? Still to this day, you're proud of that work. Is there any
yeah,
any content like that? And why? Why stood out?
Yeah, for me, honestly, it was Tanya DePass was a streamer from, I think, like Chicago.
I know Tanya. Shout out to Tanya. Yeah.
Or at least the Chicago, like suburban area, right?
Yeah.
And she had dealt with like persistent harassment and doxing and stalking and everything, right? And Nathan Grayson, who works for Kotaku, he's a writer for Kotaku, he did a story on it. And I just happened to read it like in my, you know, morning news scroll on my phone or whatever. And I was like, oh, wow, this is crazy. And it's not like I wasn't aware of it, but I was like, oh, if he's doing a story on this, like I can probably book him to speak to it. Maybe I can reach out to her, whatever. So we booked the two of them. And then Fiona Nova was the other one. And we have this roundtable segment called The Table. Yeah, we're real creative.
The Table.
And they all talked about their experiences online and like, you know, because like Nathan Grayson was a center player in the whole Gamergate thing and he dealt with a world of crap. And like this, you know, Tanya, this poor woman, like she had people like, people would, like she'd ban them, then they would create new accounts just to harass her again. And like, we know where you live and all this other stuff. So like being able to have like a genuine discussion and draw some light to that thing. It's like, yeah, like we're here with all these streamers and they're all having a blast, but like there is this insidious underbelly to it where like you can very easily, like people have died in swatting attacks, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So who knows? I mean, but yeah, that work, I thought that was really cool. It was like kind of like investigative work to a certain degree. And like, it was
that
nice
was cool
to like pay it, you know, bring attention to that.
So sometimes you do have segments that is non esports type of content.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's cool. That's good to know.
It varies here and there. Like we, you know, we try to loop in like the, you know, larger world of gaming rather than esports as well. Because I mean, like I was saying, like I came into it from like just I like gaming background, and like there's people like me out there, so
yeah,
it makes sense.
What do you have like a segment that
mine is so much less like impactful? You know what I mean? Like mine,
but there is a reason why.
Yeah,
you like it, right?
Right, so, right. So like my brain, like, I guess the reasons I got good at the games that I did get good at is because I appreciated the skill that there was behind it, right? And I was like, okay, I want to be able to do that. So I practiced, learned every little thing.
Yeah.
We do this thing called Eating Tape, and it's every Monday, we recap all like the biggest stuff from the weekend, if there's tournaments and stuff, and break it down for you play by play, what exactly happened, why was it important, why was it good?
Yeah.
And that segment, even though it's like every week, what it does is it's an opportunity for me to go back to casting. You know what I mean? Going back to doing commentary, doing like, because when I was doing commentary, it's like, you know, like when you're doing something in front of a live audience, so different, right? Because you're not only feeding off the energy of the crowd, but you're, if you find like a certain thing you say makes the crowd blow up in a certain way, you keep doing that, right? It's very dynamic. When commentary invokes like a weird part of my brain that like loves doing live content. That's why I love doing the show versus like a pre-taped thing, because it's not as like, if you mess up, you don't go back and retape it, right?
Yeah.
You're just like,
well, that's it. Yeah.
Oops. And you just keep going. And it's like, I love that because it's like so, it's so dynamic. You see people for who they are when they mess up, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And if you're able to create that genuine connection with the viewer, then it's like something good. So Eating Tape, I think, works well for me because it feels like commentary. I'm breaking down something that may be complex to understand to someone who may not know it. And then they're like, whoa, I understand why you like this thing now. It's just like when I like, it feels like when I'm watching like Overwatch League with my friends and they're like, I don't get what just happened, but that was cool. And I was like, it was cool because of this, this, this. And they're like, whoa, they have that moment. It's like, yeah, like I remember my first moment like that. Like, my brother was into StarCraft too. StarCraft is like crazy. StarCraft's mad hard. But when he explained like what was going on, I was like, damn, like 300 APM, like, damn. Like,
do you guys see yourself doing like a live show in front of an audience?
In front of an audience?
Yeah. No. You see?
Yeah. Like, I mean, if we had
it's a cool experience, let me tell you. It's super sick. Cool.
It's like, if we had the capacity to do it now, I think we would, because like, we more than welcome anybody to come, like, that's we're working with, or like whoever, to come sit in on the studio and watch the show. Like, we want that feeling of being in a live audience. And that's like what Twitch chat provides to us, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Yeah, I would definitely like doing a show in front of an audience, because like, you just get that energy, right? Like,
yeah,
I haven't actually been like on stage for a show in front of an audience, but I've like produced that sort of content, and like, yeah, like you said, like, oh, we done goofed, but like, yeah, well, keep it rolling, because like, the show must go on, right? So like, one, as somebody who I think it's part of the reason why I got pulled into broadcast and journalism in general, is because like, it's all about hustle. Like, you can prepare ahead of time, but like, once you're in the moment, you're in the moment, and like, you don't have time to hem and haw. Like, I've always dealt with like kind of being anxious, and like, I tend to overthink things. So like, if I don't have the opportunity to do that, you know, like I grew up playing a lot of sports, and you'll like nail a play, and then you're like, where did I just go right now? Like, you just completely checked out and your brain just went on autopilot. It's kind of like that, where you're like, all right, cool, I got this. I didn't have to sweat it too hard. Yeah, so it's fun, and it's like interesting. And of course, like, you know, you get feedback from the audience right there in front of you, and it's a good time.
So if somebody wants to watch your show, how they can watch it?
We are on twitch.tv/cheddar, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern, every day, Monday through Friday. We tend to do a little bit of streaming after hours if we're able to. Jimmy usually takes Monday or Tuesday. I've been playing an ongoing game of Civ 5, not 6, because we're weird, with a couple friends and another one of our producers, this guy Brandon. Shout out to Brandon. You know, Erin will play, like, she's a big fan of Loot Shooter. She'll play that kind of stuff. What other, I mean, we have YouTube stuff. I'm trying to think of what else.
Or you can mention also like any up and coming content is coming in the future.
We got like, we Colin and I shot this thing where I went out to Battery Park, and we were just like I was holding a sign that just said like, come play Switch with us, because it was a nice day out. So we were just like, well, let's make fun stuff.
Going creative.
Yeah. We always try to like do more creative stuff. It's just like, you know, time of the day. But yeah, check out our YouTube, Cheddar Esports, same thing. Twitter is good.
Cool.
Yeah, it's good stuff, dude. Every day.
All right, man. Well, thanks a lot, guys. You want to mention your Twitter accounts if anybody wants to follow you?
Yeah, I'm at Jim Basco. It's GIMBASCO after the hot sauce. Yeah.
There you go.
I'm serious.
All right.
I'm a fairly big David Bowie fan, so my Twitter is Ziggy Starbutts. There's plenty of hot political takes there, so I don't mean to rub anybody the wrong way, but I was in that world forever, so I talk a lot of mess on Twitter sometimes. Well, you know, if you're so inclined, check it out and get at me.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Robert, thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thanks, dude.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.